Saints fans, Jen Hale here from the NFL on Fox. You're listening to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn.
I judge by what she's wearing, just how many heads I'm tearing off of vessels coming on to her. Each night seems like it's getting worse. And I wish she'd take the night off so I don't have to bite off every asshole coming on to her. Contestant, is that your hand or my girlfriend? Is that your hand?
What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, and this week we've got a very special treat. Have been using up a lot of mental bandwidth lately with the purchasing of the Alpaca Ranch and life and day job and everything that comes with all of that. So in lieu of doing a traditional episode this week with a guest and a long form interview, wanted to just instead do a greatest hits clip show where we're going to spend some time looking back at some of the crazier moments that we've had in our first 22 episodes of Taking the Over. I've got over 23 hours of content that that we can sift through, and went ahead and did some of that this week. So I do have some gambling picks and advice that I do want to touch back on. Of course, on last week's episode, we mentioned that the best thing you can do for the rest of this NBA season is take the over on the Pelicans. And if you have been following my advice, you would see that now the Pelicans are 28-11-1 on the over in their last 40 games, including hitting their last three over totals in a row, and doing this largely without three out of their five starting players. So, guys, Pelicans overs is so easy, so simple, and something that I really strongly encourage you to hop on the bandwagon on. They're not going to hit every time, but they're hitting at a very, very ridiculous rate. Doesn't matter if there's injuries or anything like that happening. It's been going on either way. So, that being said, we'll go ahead and jump right into some of our clips. First clip that I want to bring to you guys tonight is just really, it's a highlight of some of the spontaneous nonsense that can happen on this show. And in this case, this spontaneous nonsense is going to involve one of my favorite guests on the show, my friend Todd. Todd comes on, we get silly, we get crazy, interesting things happen, and this next short clip is an example of that. So want to encourage you guys to sit back, do what you got to do, have a good time, enjoy this week's episode, enjoy the clips. I'll be back after these clips to give you guys some more picks and narrate us into everything else that's going on. But as we get started this evening, I want to bring you back to episode 12 and a bunch of fireworks with Todd.
You know, I'm going to tell you,
you gave me COVID.
I'm going to tell you, the only person that was with us that was asymptomatic before and after gave us COVID, but names are not important.
Oh, I can't even remember who that is right now because it's Christmas.
It's Christmas. It's not the time of COVID giving. Just COVID. Just giving.
I had a friend that gave me some candies. Some candies from the Pacific Northwest.
And Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Fantastic.
I've been trying to take them all before the year runs out. I'm trying to take them all in 2020.
I think that's the best idea I've ever heard, actually.
Yeah, and they gave me like 40, so I've been having to go at it pretty hard, you know.
Well, you know, winners never quit, so.
Well, it helps ease the pain because last week I had a very, very, very bad, no good, embarrassingly bad week with the picks themselves. 0-6, 0 correct picks, 6 incorrect picks. Including straight up picks, including teasers. It was just bad all over the place. I do have some picks this week that hopefully they cannot possibly be as bad. It's not physically possible for this week's picks to be as bad as last week's picks. So they're guaranteed to be better. I definitely have to pay a lot of attention to the schedule this week, the sequence of the games, who's playing, who's not playing, what games have playoff implications, which games don't. So when we get to the games, Todd, we're going to have to go out of sequence and we're going to have to be real, real, real intentional about what we do, or else we could go 0-6 like we did last week and like I said, be just shamed about it.
No, we got this. COVID asterisk doesn't count. We got this. We got it now.
Good. You're not a gambler. We've established that last time you were here. For those of you that didn't listen to Todd's last appearance, his episode is noteworthy in that we had the 30-minute discussion about the time that Todd and I accidentally got stoned with the white supremacists and
KKK dudes. Well, yeah, it was accidental. It was fun for a second, but it was accidental.
Yeah, so that was scary. but it's fun to reflect on. And Todd, I feel like it's been a long year, man. 2020 is a year that a lot of people would consider to be not a good year.
I'd say it's low on the Richter scale. Yeah.
A couple things happened this past year. More than two, a few things happened this last year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Oh, say can you see
by the dawn's early.
You know what? You didn't tune in to hear us sing the Star Spangled Banner. Just another example. When I'm with Todd, weird, crazy shit will happen. Unpredictability will happen. Todd was there for perhaps the single craziest evening in the history of Billy Gunn's life, the night that we accidentally got stoned with some white supremacists out in the middle of nowhere. How do you accidentally get stoned with some white supremacists, you may ask? Well, listen on. Episode 4, Taking the Over. This clip, Getting Stoned with White Supremacists.
One story people always ask about. There's one story. In fact, one of the people that was there the night that this story happened, he'll call me like every 6 months and he'll be at work or he'll have like a room full of people and he'll be like, Gunn, I'm telling him the story about the camp out.
Oh,
and
he
wants me to tell the campout story. So that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna tell the campout story. It's story time. New segment on Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. We're gonna tell the campout story. Statute of limitations is out on this story. So want to take you back. This was about at least 20 years ago. We would have been 21 years old, and Todd and I were members of a group of young men that
society.
Get together to hang out and do like public service and like raise money and like dance with old ladies and you know
that's
like yeah
you
that's
crossing
what we did.
The street
like,
you know
yeah you paid dues and you like you hung out with girls, and then you like took care of the elderly and, you know, cleaned up roads, whatever. And we had a contractual obligation as members of this group to go camping. We had an obligation to go camping, and we had an obligation for this camping trip to be alcohol free for like at least 24 hours, right?
Oh God, I wish I knew it was obligatory.
Yeah. So we'd end up out in the woods on a camping trip with a large group of our friends. And I remember the first night, some guys that were out there with us were like, ah, this sucks. We're leaving. We're going back to town and we're going to the bars because this is lame. And it was like the minute those guys left, we're like, well, time to break out the alcohol, right? Turns out we'd pack like a bunch of alcohol to bring with us to have fun because we had an obligation to not have fun for 24 hours. And then after that, we were allowed to have fun. Don't ask why. It makes no sense.
I don't know why.
That's just how these groups roll, right? So while we were there, during the day on one of the days, we went and found this little it was like a convenience store / restaurant / bar. And it was the only piece of civilization within like 30 minutes of the campsite. And we had, we had like one of those.
Yeah, the lake water was like bashing up against one of the walls. It was right on the
lake. Yeah, it was right on the lake. And they had like a $6 steak and potato type of deal. And we went there and we had a lot of fun. And then we went back to our campsite and we started partying. And we started drinking. And like a very severe weather came through the area. And it knocked out I would say that it knocked out electricity, but we were camping. For some reason, I can't remember why, but the weather came through and the weather was really bad. And the weather inspired us to go. Now it's like 10 o'clock at night, and it inspired us to go back to that little convenience store / restaurant / bar on the lake, which was the only piece of civilization nearby. Yeah. So we did. And so we, a smaller group of the larger group of young men that were hanging out at this campground, went to this little bar. And I remember walking in, and it was almost like one of those old beer commercials, like when somebody walks in and the jukebox needle goes, you know, and everybody turns and looks at us. And
you boys ain't from around here, are you?
You boys ain't from around here. And we had made a pact on the way there in the car. We were like, hey, man, if you find anybody that's got any of that green spinach, let us know. Right.
Because
we want to talk to them. And so so we get to it was packed.
Yeah.
It was packed with a lot of rednecks. This is a very, very rural area. Very rural area. And that's going to be important later in the story. Oh, so man. I immediately noticed like two old guys sitting at the bar wearing like David Duke for Senate or something hats. And to give you some context, David Duke had not run for office in many years. They were just David Duke enthusiasts. And if you don't know who David Duke is, Google David Duke. We've got listeners that listen all over the world to the show. But David Duke, for those of you that don't know, was a former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, of the KKK, and he ran for office in Louisiana, and he won. And then he ran for office a couple more times, and he lost. David Duke is one of those rare people that people pay him not to run for office. That would be a very interesting position to be at in life. Don't you want to make it to where people will pay you not to run for office?
Kill my guidance counselor. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I'd like to do it not at the expense of being synonymous with horrible racism.
I don't
want to be
outcast.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to be that person. Yeah.
You don't want to be known as a racist. I just want people to pay me not to run for office and not be a racist. So, so I start talking to these two old guys wearing David Duke hats, and dude, these guys were, you know, they were like ridiculous. They were saying, I remember they gave me pamphlets, right? And if you're at a bar in the middle of nowhere with your David Duke hat,
the next step in the logical progression is that you would have pamphlets, right?
I mean, obviously. I mean, there's nowhere else. Pamphlets, to go.
And I still to this day remember the acronym that was of the organization that was on the planets. The acronym was No Fear. No Fear. And that stood for National Organization for European American Rights. And I remember like European American Rights. So I remember like looking at the pamphlet and kind of reading the first infold of it. And it was like, you know, it was given some statistics and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, this makes sense. All right. And then you keep reading. You're like, oh, wow. Oh, the coming race war. Yikes. These guys are like hardcore racists.
Oh, okay.
These guys are like hardcore racists. I just thought they were wearing David Duke hats because they were fans of politics. Turns out they're the kind of guys that bring propaganda with them to the bar.
Can you
to
donate $3 for more kerosene?
Yeah, will you donate $3 for no fear?
Yeah, for no fear.
Sir, could you spare a dollar on this? Hey, would you dedicate a dollar of your purchase to no fear of your
every
next beer?
Every 10 cents goes to the kerosene on the crosses.
Every 10 cents, make sure a strong white baby is pure. All right. So at that point, after they hand me their racist propaganda, I'm like, all right, I've had enough of talking to you guys. I don't know why I was surprised, but I was. And I looked around and a subset of my friends were gone and had disappeared from the bar. So, and it, yeah, guys, you ever been in a group of friends and you know the ones that are like 420 friendly and you know the ones that aren't? It was like all of my 420 friends had disappeared. And it could only mean one thing. And that's that they were smoking pot without me. And I was very, very upset. 20-year-old Billy Gunn was very upset about this, right? And 20-year-old Billy Gunn is drunk. And 20-year-old Billy Gunn wants to go smoke some pot. So I grab another friend. We'll call him Sawed Off for short. We won't use any real names in this story. And so Sawed Off and I decide to go start searching for our friends. Now, this community was weird. I swear to God, it was like something out of the Twilight Zone. It was like a trailer park and apartments like surrounding this little bar / gas station convenience store / restaurant by day. It's like the
slash
whole
boat ramp. Yeah.
Yeah. / boat ramp is a bait shop, whorehouse, like everything you could all in one. This whole community revolved around this one little commercial establishment. And so Sawed Off and I literally start going door to door. It's probably 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And we're just knocking on random doors, trying to find our friends, which this is so dangerous. This is so stupid, so irresponsible.
Dumbest thing ever.
Finally, we get to this apartment and we can tell that the lights are on. We can hear a bunch of voices, perhaps some familiar voices. We can smell a little bit of smoke coming out. And I knock on the door. The door swings open. On one side of the door is the biggest, scariest skinhead with a spider web tattoo on his skull holding a battle axe. And on the other side of the doorway, standing perpendicular to him, is Todd holding a battle axe.
And facing the spider guy.
Yeah. Like y'all both greeted me. You're on one side of the door when the door opens with a battle axe, and the skinhead is on the other side of the door with a battle axe. And I've just pushed my way through you guys like, you guys left without me. You're smoking weed without me.
And Todd, yeah. Oh my God, dude. That was great.
Tell me a little bit about your side of the story up to
so I'm on the opposite side of this whole soiree. My ears grow keen to someone that is into the green. We start talking at the bar a little bit. They're super friendly, you know. I look like them, I guess.
So did they have literature like my people did?
You know, they didn't show me in the pamphlets or the flyers, but they did mention like just good boys, like Southern boys.
Oh, yeah, you boys look good.
Yeah, and I was, and like I said, like my grandfather has a house like just a mile from that place. On the
okay.
Okay. So I'm from the neighborhood, and you're familiar. I think that's how I got the inn, because okay. This is all, you know, I don't know, a fake place called, let's call it Lake Bistineau or something.
Lake Bistineau, yes. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So these guys start talking and they invite me over, like, hey, you know what we got over here? Come hang out with us. Well, right away, the two guys closest to me, I tapped on the shoulder, said, come with me. They didn't ask any questions. Like you said, therefore 20 friendly. Unfortunately, that message, that shoulder tap did not get passed down to you at the end of the bar, receiving your information, your leaflets of just life-filled information.
Right.
So, all right, we mosey on up this boat ramp of an entrance to these apartments. They're just crappy. I go in, and I'm meeting my friends, and they walk in, and it's just two guys. There's this heavy-set, blonde, curly-haired lady with really red lipstick, and they're just talking like, okay, who are y'all? What's going on? It's like, okay, we're just here. Like, oh, they're our friends. They're from here. Come on, we're going to smoke. And there's another skinhead in the back just rolling joints.
Okay.
I don't think he said a word the whole night.
He just rolled joints.
Yeah, he was just rolling joints. And so I have with me two friends, Daryl and my other brother, Daryl. You know?
Right. Daryl and Daryl.
Yes. So we walk in, we're trying to, you know, make conversation, see what's going on. It's a really empty room. There's one TV and it's a box TV, like a big square cube TV. You're watching TV, one guy's rolling joints, and this heavyset blonde girl is just calling the shots. Well, in there, there's like six of us at this point, six or seven of us. And they're real nice. They talk to us, say, like, you know, have a drink, have a beer, come on, we're gonna roll a joint, hang out. And then they started asking about our past. And we're like, okay, like whatever. And we started walking around. I get a drink from the kitchen and I walk back there. I'm in the kitchen by myself and I hear yelled from the front. Hey, you can have anything you want. Just don't drink my chocolate milk.
Don't drink my milk. You can have a beer. Don't drink my milk.
Don't drink my chocolate milk. I was like, all right. That's not what I was going for. But yeah, sure. I grab a Bud Light and walk out. Yes, okay, noted. I come back out and I start looking around and I hear some noise coming from a back room. And I just kind of look over, and then one guy sees me looking and he distracts me. Hey, like, come on, check this out. Just show me how to roll a joint, how his friend rolls joints. We come back and we're talking. We're looking around. It's getting a little quiet around this apartment. And they start asking about our beliefs. And I just happen to notice that there's...
Is it fair to say that, like, everybody's stoned?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not feel the details of the fun part.
Well, yeah, but no. I mean, I guess it's implied that everybody was getting stoned.
Yeah, we came in. They had vodka shots of the worst vodka ever. Oh, and then, yeah, like, we were passing joints this whole time and just talking. And just, you know, like, okay. And I noticed that there's a sword above... It's not even a real fireplace. It's like a faux fireplace. Like it's like
this is an apartment,
got a
right?
mantle. It felt like a
fake ass fireplace.
It felt like a trailer park the whole time. Yeah, fake ass fireplace. Not a real fire. Not even fake flames. Just And all of a sudden, you know, we're hearing noise, and all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. And like they were expecting a break-in. Every skinhead and that blonde-haired woman got real serious. All of a sudden, the guy closes the door, runs, and for some reason, there's this fucking axe on the wall. And he grabs it and starts aiming that axe at the door. And I was like, what the fuck? And I look right to my friends that are sitting on the couch, and just so fucking happens that there's a fucking axe leaning against the wall next to me. I was like, well, fuck it. I'm not gonna be the only one. I grab the axe and I'm facing the skinhead at the door that's facing the door that they're about to open. And I was like, what the fuck? I look over at my brother, Daryl, and he goes, what the fuck? I was like, I don't know. And I'm sitting here just like gripping this axe, just like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, boom.
I come in. I opened the door, smoke billows out, Todd and a skinhead with battle axes. I don't give a fuck. I'm like, dude, you guys were smoking weed with that. No. We had a pact. We made a pact. We were going to look out for each other. I have no idea what's happening here. I feel very left out. And I just kind of like pushed my way into the room, and I pushed my way into the rotation with the joints. And I think what I failed to realize in retrospect is that you guys were about 30 minutes ahead of me on getting stoned with the skinhead white supremacist KKK guys.
Yeah,
yeah, you guys were 30 minutes ahead of getting stoned with Klansmen. And paranoia and everything else, that is not a very fun experience.
No.
And so you guys were just about at the point where you were ready to leave. And then small Daryl and I came in the door, and I was like just ready to get started. So then I start partaking with the skinheads, Klansmen, KKK guys, and you guys started kind of like
we were looking
one
for a
one.
Way out, dude. We were
you guys were one by one finding reasons to leave, right, yeah. right, until it's just me and our sawed off friend and the skinheads getting stoned, and you know how you get paranoid, especially at that age, you know, like you get really paranoid when you get high.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help when they're talking about like the coming race war. Like you're getting stoned with guys that have like AK-47s and swords and axes. Because I remember there was like a back room, and like every 5 or 10 minutes or so, like another skinhead would like come out of this room.
Oh
like,
yeah,
with, like
the guy
a rifle.
We never saw. Like who
yeah,
are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean like these guys are armed. Like Sons of Anarchy up in there, you know, and they're like ready for the impending race. And it was the most uncomfortable
silent demonstration.
It was the most uncomfortable occasion ever. And after I'd been there for a while, it's just me and our short friend. And I was like, I got to get out of here. And he's like, stay, have a beer. Don't drink my milk. And I was like, no. Like, I should be going now.
Oh, the guys in the back room.
I was trying to figure out a reason to leave.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so it's you and Daryl.
Small sawed-off Daryl.
Yeah, sawed-off Daryl, because we snaked out individually, the lead team. The bastards that sold you out did not live up to their pact.
and then left me with the...
murderous
with the,
racist.
With the fucking the crazy racist ready for the impending racial war. And I just want to make a point of how non-prophetic these guys were, because this was like 1998 or something, you know.
Yeah, 99 and I think. Yeah,
yeah, it's been like 22 years and we still haven't had this race war. So I just want to say how disappointed I am.
Yeah,
in their race war predictions. They're about as good at predicting race. They're about as good at predicting race wars as I am at picking football games.
This week, yeah. I mean, imagine that.
But that's their whole job. Their whole job was to be racist.
Yeah, imagine the old
schoolers. They didn't have any other job.
That have been preaching this shit forever and it never happened. Are they putting Social Security into this race war? Because they're not getting anything out of it.
Well, that's what I'm starting to think. Are they first generation race war prognosticators? Like,
are they angry?
People? Yeah, like in the '50s, people weren't predicting a race war, were they?
No.
I know, like people started doing that, like in the '70s.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, like Manson wanted to start one.
Yeah, correct.
Right.
Oh my God.
So,
that's the company you're in.
Yes. So I've decided to leave. I'm rebuffing the offers for more beer. I don't want his beer. I can't have his chocolate milk. He will not allow me to have the chocolate milk. Paranoia has set in. I am terrified.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
Right before I left, when you came in and made that big distraction, because he called me out and said I couldn't have it, I snuck back into
milk.
The kitchen and I drank a sip of his fucking
You got
milk.
Some of that milk?
Yes.
What if
it
that,
was quick.
What if that,
it was Nestle quick.
What if that milk was laced with racism?
Oh man, I got a little hint of it.
What if there was some kind of racism serum in that milk?
Oh, it had that racist tang, you know.
That's why you've probably been slightly more racist for the last 20 years.
You know what? Damn it! You know, mm-hmm. I was poisoned. It's not in my nature.
It was. So I got out of there.
Yeah, you did.
And and made it back to the commercial establishment that was the hub of this community.
The place with electricity.
And our friends, all of our fraternity brothers, were like the ones that had stayed behind and hadn't gone on the trip to Clan World with us, to Marijuana Clan World, were like basically pirating all their women. They were like, we're getting everybody's women. They like were looting the village of its women. And
we will rape your women.
It was
not really, but yeah.
Well, I mean, by today's standards, yes. But they had stayed back, and you could tell like all the other racists that were still in the bar were like, I've had it with these city boys.
Yeah, come in here with your Abercrombie.
Right. And we had like that stoned intuition, and we were like, let's get the fuck out of this.
We gotta go, man. Please. We gotta go. We gotta go now.
We gotta get out of here. And we gotta go now. Everybody here is a fucking skinhead. It was Todd, have you ever seen that movie From Dusk Till Dawn?
Oh, dude, I just watched that.
Where they get stuck like in that Mexican town, and they go to the bar, and it turns out that everybody in the bar is secretly a vampire.
Yeah, Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek, right. This was like From Dusk Till Dawn, but instead of vampires, they were all skinheads and fucking Nazis. It's like, we gotta go. Everybody here's
and
a racist.
And the clock was fucking ticking, man. The clock was ticking.
Yeah, dude.
Their looks were getting more frequent and frequent. Like, it was not getting ugly. Not getting good in there.
The follies of youth and youthful indiscretion. So, that's that story. Want to go ahead and give you guys some more gambling tips. This week is Masters Week. Now, if you'll recall, back in November, the Masters was pushed to November for COVID, of course, and the pandemic. And I made some picks on winners, four suggestions for who to place your money on for outright winners of the Masters. And guess what? One of them hit. And if you'd have tailed me on those, you'd have made some real money. And I'm going to do it again, as it is Masters Week again this week. With that being said, want to drop four suggestions on where to place your money for the Masters outright winner wager. These bets have big money lines, given that it's a 100-person field. I'm going to suggest that you put equal units on all four. Do not weight any of these wagers any more than the other. If your unit's 10, then put 10. If your unit's 30, then put 30. If your unit's 100, put 100. But of course, the odds are going to be listed as a typical money line odd. I believe the most likely person to win the Masters this week is going to be Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas is a plus 1,100 money line to win the Masters. The next suggestion I would give of the four is to put a unit on Dustin Johnson to repeat as the Masters winner. I actually picked Justin as one of my four picks back in November, and Justin did hit. Justin is a plus 850 favorite to win the Masters, and I could very easily see him repeating again. The next two picks are going to be a little higher odds, a little more narrative oriented. Colin Morikawa already won his first major last year, and he is a plus 2,700 money line to win this week at Augusta. And finally, Brooks Koepka, I think, is very, very due. And I think if you were to put your fourth wager on Brooks Koepka at 2,200, you're going to come away very, very happy with the results. Any one of those four guys could win. I know, even if you're not a big golf fan, guys, betting on golf and having one of your wagers in contention on Sunday is one of the most fun things that you can do. It's one of the biggest gambling joys that you can have when you're doing sports wagering. That being said, we're going to go to our next clip. And the next clip is actually more of a PSA. You know, moving forward into next football season, I definitely have got a new idea for something that we're going to do to try and raise money for charitable causes. This clip originated as a PSA, a public service announcement, asking folks to donate blood. I think that donating blood is one of the most important things that you can do, especially during a pandemic. And I had Dave Romero from the BS and Beer Saints podcast on as my guest back in week 11 for this clip, which is from the week 11 episode, Billy Gunn's White Trash Blood. Enjoy. I will say this. I want to give a quick PSA to everybody out there in listener land. If you can, go donate blood this season. It's the Christmas season, and you know, giving is a big tenet of Christmas. And I've got a personal story. You know, I went and donated blood on Friday of last week. And the blood center loves me because I have typo negative blood, so I got that universal life essence, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to get some of that. And then I've had COVID already as well. So now I've got typo negative blood and the COVID antibodies. So it's like a double whammy of good, right? So
man, you should start selling that.
I thought about it. we haven't gotten that desk. The picks haven't gotten that bad yet. I got there and I walk in and I'm checking in for my appointment. The lady checks me in and she gives me the iPad to answer questions about, you know, like I haven't like paid to have sex with other men in the last 6 months, you know, like that kind of thing. And and then the lady hands me the iPad and she walks into the next room and I can hear her say from the next room, "Oh, it must be White Trash Day today." And wow. I was like, wow. Oh, man. Am I white trash? You know? And I started to, like, I was really freaked out. I had all this stuff going through my mind all of a sudden. I was like, am I white trash? Do I walk out of here? Am I going to donate blood? Do I keep this to myself? Do I say something to somebody? Why would she say that? So on and so forth. And, I just decide I'm just gonna eat it. I'm just not gonna say anything. And they go to take my pulse before I can donate blood, and the lady goes, "Your pulse is running real hot. Like you're running real heavy on the pulse here." And and she's like, "You can't give blood if your pulse is this high." She's like, "Is something wrong?" And I was like, "Yeah, well, you know, the other lady like said that today's White Trash Day when she saw me." And I was like, look, I make low six figures. I've got a master's degree. You know, that's a $50,000 truck. And I'm trying to explain to these people that I'm not white trash, basically.
Right.
And they're like, no. They're like, we have color-coded trash bags here. And on Fridays, we take the white trash bags out.
Were you embarrassed?
Yeah, it was real. I was like completely thrown off, and then I was like on an apology tour to everybody, and it was just, so be warned, if you go give blood, they might call you white trash, maybe not. They're probably talking about the trash bags. Look, I mean, I just moved to Mississippi and grew a mullet, dude, so I'm a little sensitive. You know, I'm a little sensitive to being called white trash, because I might be, but
all right.
That was my experience.
If it's Friday specifically.
Yeah, definitely on Fridays. Definitely all white trashed out on Fridays. Yeah, that was embarrassing. The point still remains, go donate blood, regardless of what day of the week it is. Get out there, give them some of that life essence, you know, help people out. It's one of the best things you can do. It doesn't cost anything. You're going to feel better. Regardless, and like I said, I'm really excited about some charitable plans that I have for next football season and some things that we can do to get the listenership involved, and it'll integrate gambling and it'll integrate donating to good causes, and you know, keep listening, keep downloading, because we're gonna have some fun with that. Our next clip comes from episode 15 with my good friend Ben. Ben stopped by to talk some football and UFC wagers with us, and we also got into a story about a very jarring experience that I had here locally. Guys, I live out in the country, dude. I live out in the boonies, and I moved out here fairly recently, and so some of my experiences kind of coming into this area have been interesting, to say the least. So take a listen. Next clip, episode 15, Emily's New Beginning with Ben.
You know, I did have a listener like reach out to me last week. He's like, Gunn, now you've like, we're keeping track. You talked about getting drunk and throwing a chicken leg at Bobby Hebert, you know, and then you got drunk and you said you got in a fight with Rudy, the real Rudy, actual Rudy, not the guy that was the goblin or whatever in the Wizard movie, the actual Rudy.
Oh, you're talking about Sean Astin. Yeah.
Sean Astin. Yeah. Not so Sean
Astin. You actually were getting in a fight with the Rudy Rudiger.
The Rudy Rudiger.
Person. Okay, got it.
And guess what? Guess what they got right? He's a little guy.
Yes.
Dude, he's such a son of a bitch, dude.
Dude.
He's such a fucking bad human being. Anyway, we got there. I want to ask you something because you know something about this is a little bit. So last night, I went to go to the gas station about 10 o'clock. And as I got to the gas station, it wasn't even the closest gas station to me, but it's the gas station that's got a little bit of character.
Yes.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar.
Right. And I had kind of written them off for a minute, but I'm bringing them back in and I'm giving another shot. So I go there. It's about 10 o'clock. Bro, they were having a meeting. Like, a bunch of like angry boomers, you know, there's like some deli tables in there, and there was a bunch of like angry boomers like listening to shit on their cell phones.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And they looked at me like I'm fucking I don't know, bro. Like my Sick Shades came in. I ordered some Sick Mullet Shades from Sick Clothing, and my man out there, super awesome guy, I actually talked to him this week. And so, you know, like they looked at me strange. I looked at them strange. I had my sunglasses on. It was 10 o'clock. That was probably a bad move. That might have led to some of the looks. I go straight to the counter. Dude, there's like a 3-month old baby on the counter.
Like in a car seat of some sort,
on the counter. Lay on the counter. Like, wow. All right, you've got children younger than me. I can't remember. Like, the baby was so young, like, it's not one that's capable of rolling over.
So was anyone attending to said baby?
Yes, there was a lady there. She had just finished changing its diaper.
Oh, yikes. Okay. Yep.
And was kind of like rooting around in the first aid kit.
Oh my God. Wow.
I wanted to leave so bad. But like I could hear like QAnon shit coming out of the back of the room, you know?
Yeah.
From the gathering, and I was like, bro, just leave the shades on.
Yeah.
And buy one pack of cigarettes.
Yep.
And get the fuck out of here, dude. Yeah. And I'm never going back.
Yeah, I can't blame you there, man. You know that.
I can't go back.
Yeah, there's a line in a movie that says something along the lines of like, "I've known enough to know that I've seen it all," or something like that. That seems like an appropriate line for that, because that's just. I mean, hey, where else are you going to see a baby on a counter getting its diaper changed while they have the QAnon boomers in the back, you know, talking about conspiracy theories and
yes,
yeah, man. So. can't blame you for not going to want to go.
I'm not even worried about like COVID or the flu. I'm worried about like baby doo doo hands.
Yep.
That's, you change diapers. Yeah. You know what that, I mean, you know, bro, you know, you get a little shit on your hands.
Nobody wants you
being a parent, but yeah, you're going to get some, so it's like, that's okay. That's not a problem. Just don't.
Well, that's,
so yeah, let me ask you this, cause you're an expert. What's that like for property values? Cause that's, you know, that's out here where I'm buying, where this, yeah, happened. This is the closest gas station.
Okay. Yeah. So that's probably not good.
That's for property values. Do they have a metric for that? Can you measure that type of thing in your world for property values?
Yeah, there's not something direct that would probably measure that. I think that would be more something along the lines like if you're like talking to the neighbors before you buy the house, like, yeah, man, don't ever go to that gas station because there's people changing babies on the counter. So that would be one of those type of things. I don't think it would necessarily affect the value directly, but it might scare someone away if you saw that.
Yeah, so, yeah. It kind of reminds me of this other thing. Like my daughter and I, we got a gift card to go to Applebee's.
Nice.
Because, well, that's not actually not all that nice.
No. I meant that like nice as in like nice.
Someone yeah, nicely gave us a card, but it was to Applebee's. And so we went to go use it. Okay. And she was like not thrilled about going to Applebee's, and neither was I. And we got there and, you know, order our food. And yeah, they have those little electronic gimmicks on the table now,
yes,
right?
I'm familiar.
And when she was younger, she used to want to play the game or whatever. Right. She was like, nah, like that, not yeah, interested.
Yeah.
Right. So we didn't spend the $3 whatever on getting some doo doo on your hands by touching that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we were looking at one of the advertisements for the game,
mm-hmm,
and they had a game on there. Bro, the premise of the game is you're a single mother working at like an Applebee's and shit, like times are hard, mm-hmm, and you got to bring your child to work with you.
Okay.
And the child sits in the corner while the parent, you know, asks people how many chicken tenders they want, right?
Okay.
And the name of the game is Emily's New Beginning.
Oh, okay.
I looked it up because I was like, surely this is not a game that's like,
it's not real, right?
Fucking make like it's just, yeah, very casual about like a really shitty situation.
Okay.
And I was like, this can't be. And so I had to, I'm Googling it there at the restaurant. Still didn't pay to use it. And that's what it is.
Okay. So
maybe the gas station, I'm trying not to take too hardcore of a like, I'm not trying to hate on Emily's New Beginning at the gas station, real life version.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking. I just Googled that.
It's real. I didn't make that up. Yes. I'm not making this up.
Dude, that is.
And the child gets bored and it starts to fucking fuss.
I'm looking at a screenshot of the game. So there's a kid, like they're got surrounded by like a baby gate that's just sitting over like about 5 feet from people eating their food.
I feel the dark arts. I feel the dark arts coming on just talking about this.
That's crazy, man. Who comes up with something like this? Like,
who enjoys playing it?
That's another thing. Like, this has, let's see.
It's, I mean, if it wasn't popular, they wouldn't have it.
No, you're right. It's rated 4.2 on Google Play.
I mean, dude, they could have Tetris instead of that game.
They could.
But they're like, fuck Tetris. We're gonna roll with Emily's New Beginning.
What are they sitting in the meeting talking about, like when they're coming up with like new ideas? Like, all right, guys, I've got this game. It's a down and out waitress, single mother.
Fucking bullshit, huh?
Like what?
Dude. Oh yeah, like, well, we've done focus groups that's exactly what the people want.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it can be relatable in some instances, you know, if you're a single mother and you're working at an Applebee's or, you know, Hennigan's or whatever, you know. Yes, I get it. Makes sense.
It makes me feel unwell, dude.
Yeah, no, it's actually a horrible idea, but.
And then the real life version at the gas station.
Yeah, there you go. That's, I'm sure her name was something similar to Emily, I'm sure. It was probably
probably something.
Yeah.
Yep. A real life Emily's New Beginning in the flesh. So one of the joys of living out here in the rural area. And another joy of living out here in the rural area is I can hear coyotes and dogs wailing in the background. So we're going to get close to wrapping this up. My next clip is one of my favorite clips, one of my favorite moments from the show, where we had Jeff, founding father of the Dome Patrol podcast, on to talk about some times that we had back in college. If you're noticing a theme here, you're noticing a lot of stories from a long time ago, back when I lived a very different life. And you know, I don't do this to like glorify you know, getting all jacked up on alcohol or whatever. Maybe I do, I don't know. I'm fortunate I don't live that way anymore, man. You know, I value very much not having that affliction that I used to have. And so this next clip is an example of how a little bit of drinking, a little bit of boozing can get out of hand. And it comes from episode 7, and it is the Bobby Hebert chicken wing incident. So this is the most downloaded episode of Taking the Over to date. And it featured this tale of projectile chicken wings and Bobby Hebert. Enjoy.
You and I have quite a history as Saints fans. We've known each other for a long time. We went to college together. I've told the Bobby Hebert story in the past on the show years and years and years. Probably it's been 9 years since I've told the Bobby Hebert story. But I'm willing to tell it again, because really there's resolution that I want to get with the Bobby Hebert story. Do you think that's something we should even get into?
Absolutely. Anytime we can talk about Bobby Hebert, we should.
All right. Okay. So tell the Bobby Hebert story.
There's nothing sacred on our show, so I'm no stranger to offensive material.
Right. You were there.
This is offensive.
You were there, correct?
If I was, it's vague. It's a hazy memory.
Okay.
From our youth.
All right. So
maybe like you, we need some clarification.
Yes. So the Bobby Hebert story goes like this. Now, I when I was a young man and a young Saints fan, a very young Saints fan, like a child, you know, Bobby Hebert was the quarterback of the Saints, and Bobby Hebert left. It was really like the first instance in the professional era of a player holding out from his contract.
That's right.
Which was, that did not sit well with me. And he sat out right when the Saints were just beginning to come into success. It was the Dome Patrol years, you know, Ricky Jackson, Vaughn Johnson, Sam Mills, Pat Swilling.
A few playoff appearances behind us.
Yeah. And at that point, Bobby goes, nope, I'm holding out. Right. And then it wasn't so much that he held out as that he left and then went directly to the most hated rival in the Atlanta Falcons. Fuck the Falcons. And it's Falcon Hate Week.
It's Falcon Hate Week.
It's Falcon Hate Week. So this is a timely story. Hebert goes to the Falcons, and that, I mean, that never ever. Number one, just when I was a child, I was angry I was upset because I was a child and the Saints were my favorite team, and Bobby Hebert left. And then as I got older and began to understand how free agency worked and how holdouts worked, I became angry. And so, right about the time of this anger was, let's go with right about the turn of the century, right?
Yeah.
Right as we're getting into the 2000s. And Bobby Hebert shares an alma mater with us. Bobby Hebert went to the same university that we did. And our college team was having some success. And they were advancing pretty deep into the 1AA playoffs. And
lo and behold, look who starts popping up on the sidelines every week, right? Fucking Bobby Hebert. Bobby Hebert comes out of nowhere.
Had like railing seats, like where we watched the game, so we were within shouting distance.
Yeah. You could get down to the railing. We were in sections that were reserved for people that were in special groups, and if you were in one of these special, yeah, groups that like you had your mandatory camping trips and stuff, right. And these group seating and so you could get right up to the railing and right to the sideline. And let's be honest, like that stadium was never full. You know, no one was ever jockeying for seats. So Bobby Hebert starts showing up. One could say a bandwagon fan. I'd never seen him before.
Right. Or since.
Right. And as we've documented in the past, I did not always live an alcohol-free lifestyle. It was quite the little booze pup back in the day, and was not uncommon for me to get very, very inebriated on Saturdays prior to football games. And on
introduced the club tailgating to that university.
Remember? Took it to another level.
They in fact. In later, quick interlude there, they later created a rule that clubs like ours would not be allowed to tailgate on campus, so we had to start tailgating across the street.
We had to start tailgating across the street in my front yard. Our front yard. We lived there together. And we had a 12-foot python that people were wearing around their neck. It's a big 60-pound snake. I remember, following Monday, the police knock on their door, like, "Yeah, we got a report of a snake here."
Right. The honk if you're horny sign, and then we get a call from the advisor.
There's a lot of stories right. there. We had a lot of fun there.
Yeah,
but I digress. So we're tailgating, we're drinking. I believe we were grilling some chicken wings,
of course,
and drummies.
Yes, as is tradition.
And for some reason, I smuggled some into the game, like in my pocket. So, prior to going into the stadium, I filled my pockets with like greasy. Yeah, I think they've been like marinated in Italian dressing.
Oh, that was grill. Delaware's special sauce.
Yeah. So I've got pockets. Method. I've got pockets full of drummies to get me through the game. And then we see Bobby Hebert. Now I'm going to pause here. We see Bobby Hebert, and we said a lot of things about Bobby Hebert. I'm not trying to disparage Bobby Hebert, okay? I think that Bobby Hebert has lived a very successful life. The man has been a professional quarterback of a professional team. Lord knows he has had a lot more success in life than I have up to this point. So I'm not trying to shit on Bobby Hebert. More so than anything, we want to set the record straight. And if we can get Saints Twitter involved, if we can get Bobby involved, I'd like to confirm one specific detail about this story as we move forward. But again, was very angry with Hebert at the time,
given that
I saw him to be a turncoat, a Benedict Arnold. He had turned on the Saints
after going 12-4.
Yes,
that year before.
What would have been the peak of our success. Holds out, the first holdout in the history of this era of free agency. Right. He basically invented the holdout.
Right. We didn't understand it. We were young.
No, we didn't understand it, but I came to understand it later and was understanding it on this day because I began yelling and berating and screaming at Bobby Hebert from the railing, probably only a good 20 feet away from where he was at.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. And I took out one of those chicken wings, one of those drummies, and I overhand threw the drummy.
I remember this story. All of a sudden, it's all clear.
Yeah. You were there. You were there. Threw the chicken wing at Bobby Hebert.
I probably tried to be like, no, don't.
Yeah, most people were trying to talk out of everything back then.
Everyone in the stands.
I hit him with now here's what's up for debate. Did I hit him with the chicken wing or not?
That's what we don't know.
I believe as you know, over 20 years, stories morph and change. I believe I hit him with the chicken wing.
I mean,
I believe that I made contact. I threw a chicken wing at Bobby Hebert in a drunken rage from 20 feet away and hit him while he was on the sideline at Northwestern State.
Our football game. Team.
Yeah.
So yeah. The question, all right, quick couple questions. Do you recall if he turned and looked in your, like the general direction from maybe where something just hit me? Where did it come from? Do you remember any of that?
Yeah, I think I remember him turning around and looking.
Right.
And we were just like, boo.
Constant. Yeah. You're right. The constant insults.
Yeah, yeah. We were not saying kind things to Mr. Hebert. Now, that being said, I mean Bobby Hebert no ill will today. Right?
Right.
I have seen him in the last couple of years at the Silver Slipper when he was doing his remote broadcast from there on Monday nights. The man keeps himself in fantastic shape.
You did not throw chicken wings.
I didn't throw chicken wings at him when I was 40 and I saw him. No.
Okay.
He again.
Did he have a plate of chicken wings?
No.
I wonder if he's like shell shocked. He's got PTSD to where he can't be around chicken.
You think chicken wings really upset him now?
Well, that would be an indication that it hit him.
Now, here's the other problem. So what I'd like to do is I would like maybe Saints Twitter or somebody to get involved. If we could reach out to Mr. Hebert and get him to confirm if he recalls getting pelted with a chicken wing while standing on the sidelines of a college football game right around the turn of the century. Yeah.
1998, 1999.
Sometime in there.
Yeah.
And now the possibility does also exist. I would say there's probably about a 90% probability that Bobby Hebert was piss-ass drunk too. Right?
My chicken gate will never be solved.
Yeah, so Bobby Hebert might not have an accurate recollection either.
This is true. Now, in case for those of you who don't know, it is at Bobby Hebert 3.
Mm-hmm. And I'm at taking the over.
Right. And Gunn is at taking the over. So tag him. I agree. Like, ask Bobby if he remembers being on, like you said, being on the sideline during his alma mater. I mean, tell him it was his alma mater football game circa, like, I like turning of the century.
The turn of the century, correct.
Turn of the century. He will be so confused, he won't even understand the question.
My
prediction, he's either going to be too drunk or he's too old to understand the question.
Let me say another kind thing about Bobby Hebert. Mr. Hebert. Okay. We wouldn't have even been upset about him leaving the team in such a fashion if we didn't think he was a good quarterback.
That's right.
If we thought Bobby Hebert sucked and he abandoned the Saints in that fashion, we wouldn't even be upset. We'd be like, good riddance. The simple fact that we were that bothered.
That's how much we loved him. We felt rejected. We felt betrayed. We were the jilted ex-lover, right? I mean,
for years.
Yeah.
Years later, I was so upset that I was compelled to drunkenly throw a chicken wing at him. Mm-hmm. And I would not have been that way if he was not a good quarterback. So,
right.
Bobby, that is the not trying to throw down a gauntlet challenge you. In fact, I would like to formally extend an invite to Bobby Hebert to come on Taking the Over. Maybe we can solve and resolve chicken gate wing once and for all, and that's really going to be the goal that I have for this week.
Well, we definitely did not accomplish the goal of settling chicken gate wing with that episode. In fact, I was so naive to Saints Twitter and all of the things happening on it that I didn't realize that Bobby Hebert doesn't really participate in Twitter. I think he hadn't posted on Twitter in a couple years, so I'm definitely not going to reach out to him that way. I did try and reach out to T-Bob, who I'm a big fan of, big admirer of. T-Bob Hebert is a fantastic, fantastic, talented young broadcaster, and man, I would love to maybe one day get him on the show. Don't really expect it to happen, but it'd be cool if it did either way. One chance that we do have to get a lot of people on the show is later this month on the Thursday first round draft night. We will be having the Dome Patrol Draft Spectacular on Thursday, April 29th. I believe we're going to start right around probably 6 p.m. Central Time. If you are a listener of Taking the Over, if you're a listener or a fan of the Dome Patrol United podcast network, we're inviting you to participate. I mean, if any listener wants to come on and join this live stream that we did it last year. We had something like 1,000 views of the draft night party live stream, and we're gonna be doing it again, and we're gonna make it an annual tradition, and it's something that we are very excited about. I'm gonna participate. All of our Dome Patrol United cast members are gonna participate. We'll have probably the UK guys on, even though it's going to be like super fucking late over there. But we'll be excited to have it and to share with our listeners. Like I said, if you are a listener and if you're interested on participating, reach out to me. Reach out to any of us. You can find me on Twitter at Taking the Over. And just, you know, come on. Send me a DM. Send me a tweet. Say, hey, man, I'm interested in the April 29th Dome Patrol draft night Zoom party, and I've got a couple golden tickets. I want to give my tickets to listeners. I want the people to come on and be a part of it, because, you know, really without you guys, what do we have? We're just a bunch of assholes talking to ourselves, and that really is how I want to wrap this up this week. I'm, you know, very, very grateful for the platform, very grateful for having the ability to do this podcast on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm very grateful for the downloads. I'm very grateful for the listenership. I mean, I didn't think that hundreds and hundreds of people would download this show. We didn't know what we were going to be getting into when we launched this podcast. It definitely, I think, is unlike a whole lot of things that are out there, and a lot of that is by design. I mean, it's probably the only podcast in the world where we'll talk about alpaca farming and throwing chicken wings at Bobby Aber when you're drunk, and wagering on tortoises and the world's worst better, and just all of the nonsense that we get into. And I plan to have plenty of nonsense coming for you guys here in the future. Very excited about next football season. Again, off season, we got to get real creative. We got to do what we can to make it happen and put these episodes out there for you guys. So thanks again for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to coming back with a more standard show next week. I want to, of course, let you know that you can subscribe to us wherever you get your pods by searching Dome Patrol United. You can also listen at domepatrolpodcast.com for Taking the Over. I am Billy Gunn, and I want to tell you all that I love the fact that y'all listen. I care about and love interacting with listeners, and don't hesitate to get at me. Otherwise, folks, please be safe, and we will see you on the other side. So, later. Original.